We've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6 for many weeks. The reason why we are doing this is Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It doesn't come over in the English what he's saying in the original. The word not is the emphasis. He is telling you this, any harm that comes to God and his people, any evil in this world is not merely human factor. Human instrumentation. Behind is the reality of spiritual forces. We've been going through what the Bible says to give you an idea of in our mundane world where we're taught by materialists, it's just the vibration of atoms and all of this. No, it isn't. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And honestly, there is a thin veil between the spiritual world and the physical world. And sometimes we have seen in Scripture, these come together and things are witnessed that are very, very unusual. I've shocked some of you with how the fall happened. There was creation and then this veil is removed and you have the fall. Then we went to Genesis 6 and there is the flood, and the flood wasn't only because of what we're taught is sin. It was because of the sons of God came to the daughters of men. And many of you, I know, I could see by the look on your face when we went to Jude and 2 Peter, wow, that's shocking. Something very spiritually different entered into the physical realm and caused the fall. The sons of God, the daughters of men. Then we went to Genesis and we showed you how if God wants to, he can take on human form. I've seen theologians, oh, God doesn't do this anymore. Well, tell me, Mr. Theologian, show me one verse that it can't happen. They can't. God can if he wants to. Weird as it sounds, check something out. He didn't have to. God said, I'm coming down to look at it directly. Now, that's there because when God does something, he has full knowledge. So when Sodom and Gomorrah got blown up, God had full knowledge of what he was doing for the reasons he was doing it for. Then we went after that to another story in Joshua. Before Joshua could invade to establish a beachhead to bring in the Messiah, God's forces, captain of the Lord of hosts, had to go in and remove the fallen angelic powers that kept that sin in that region as a stronghold. God's forces, weird, had to go in there and break it up. Now we come to the last one I want to do, and I could go to the New Testament, do the same. Peter's in jail, and we'll get there in Acts, so we'll do it, but an angel had to wake Peter up and say, hey, Peter, get up and get out of here. And the bonds fell off, and the angel escorts him out, and he's freed. Weird things that can happen. We live in a world where, honestly, don't be looking for it, don't chase it. We told you there's not much we can do about it, but we live in a world where the veil is thin. Science has talked about how there are frequencies. Like bees can see in the ultraviolet. When they look at flowers, bees can see in a different frequency of sight. Our sight's limited. We can only see within a certain range, our ability. But birds have super ability to see. Insects have ultraviolet. And let me tell you, if we could, and God gave us the ability, we could strip away what we see, and you'd be amazed at what we would see in the hidden realm of which we can't really see with our eyes right now. You would be shocked at what you would see. And that's what I want to deal with today. You would see, if God gave you a special pair of glasses, he doesn't have to, I just say it that way. But there is a story, and by the way, Bible study, we'll go over this again Wednesday night. Weirdest thing is, we caught up in the sermon this morning with the Bible study on Wednesday night. Weird, weird, weird. Coincidence, didn't plan it that way. 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings and show you one of the most interesting stories of the interaction of the hidden, invisible realm and how God showed his people that there's more that goes on behind the scenes than you realize. Now, let me say this. God, remember, warned his people, do not pursue these things. Do not go to people who talk with spirits, necromancers, these kind of things, because we're dealing with a realm where fallen angels are inveterate liars. These stories of talking with little children and the ghosts of little children, all this stuff that you see on the Discovery Channel, all of this is a bunch of hogwash. You're dealing with spiritual forces that can take the form of anything, including looking like little children and talk like your relatives. That's why God said don't get involved in it. It is a realm that you need to stay away from, but you need to be aware of it. Now, those of you on our study on Wednesday night, no, we've been dealing with Naaman, the Aramean Syrian, who was the only one healed in Israel. Remember that? Well, if you'll go to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, this is some years after Naaman being healed. And now you know why the people in Jesus' day, when Jesus brought this up, reacted the way they did in Luke chapter 4, because the Aramean Syrians were the enemy of Israel and were killing Israelites, and Israelites were killing Arameans, and guess what, in verse 8, after Naaman, verse 8, the war's back on. Verse 8, now the king of Aram was warring against Israel. So listen, what do we have here? We have on the human level, men against men, war, killing, destruction. What this is about to teach you is there's more to war and destruction than meets the eye. It isn't just merely fallen humanity killing each other. It is that, but there's more. I want to remind you that in the 20th century and the 21st, the most dangerous organization in the world is not the mafia. That's bad. It's not organized crime, it's government. Governments killed in the 20th and 21st century 220 million people through war and destruction. Now, we could say it's a result of sin, and that would be correct, but it's a simplistic answer. It's more than that. I want you to point out what this is about to say. This is a war between Israel and the Syrians or Arameans, but there's something more that these verses reveal to us about the spiritual dynamic of what goes on truly behind the scenes. And he counseled with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. Now, what is going on is this. The king of Aram, the Syrian guy, wants to attack Israel. He makes his battle plans. But the prophet in Israel knows the battle plans. By the way, this is before all of these, before cell phones are spying on you, before the government, which has artificial intelligence, making a profile on you. You think I've lost my mind. You haven't done the research. Government has, the cell phones are listening to you. They're building artificial intelligence. They will soon have, by 2030, most of the Navy ships will be run by artificial intelligence. They will have drones delivering pizza. It's all going to be, by 2050, artificial intelligence. Good luck when that happens. It's already here. They have satellites that can see you in real time. They can know everything you do, and they store it in Utah. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, I bring that up to show you that before they were able to do that, true prophets of God, because of the Spirit of God, could do things that were miraculous. And what they could do was, Elisha's spirit was able to literally know the battle plans of the Arameans and would warn the king of Israel, don't go there because they're waiting for you. Now, isn't that weird? So when you see a true prophet of God, it is not something where someone gets it right sometimes and gets it wrong. A true prophet of God has miraculous abilities. They cannot be done on mere human level. And the king of Israel sent to the place, verse 10, which the man of God had been told. Thus he warned him so that he guarded himself there more than once. So the prophet of God has this amazing ability to say, don't go there, watch this, because the king of Aram is going to do this. You be careful. And that infuriates the king of Syria, the Aramean, because every time he tries to do harm, that prophet, without satellite, cell phone, artificial intelligence, knows exactly what's going that guy's plan. Now the heart of the king, verse 11, Aaron was enraged over this, and he called his servants and said, will you tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel? So what does the Aramean king think? There's a spy. There is no spy. God gave his prophet the ability, weird as this sounds, to know the battle plans. Now, if you've been in our Bible study, you know that when Gehazi, Elisha's servant, took the money for the healing, remember that? And God gave him leprosy, because you don't sell God's power for money like many of these guys do on television today. Elijah said, my spirit went with you and I saw you take that 2 talents of silver, Gehazi. Remember that? Elisha's spirit knew the battle plans. You get a true prophet of God, you will see amazing things. And one of his servants said, no, my lord, there's no spies here, but Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. That's cleaned up. If I remember correctly, the original in Hebrew says, even when you're in the bathroom. Does anybody have the New King or the King James that says when your feet, you're covering your feet? All right, well, it means they know what you do, even in the most private of places. And it's because of a prophet of Israel who has supernatural ability. So what are you going to do? What does the king of Aram need to do? Take out Elijah in order to succeed. So far, honestly, we've got everything on the human level. And we're getting a hint that there's more involved, but watch what happens next. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and take him. By the way, I don't know if he wanted to kill Elijah. Maybe he thought he could use Elijah's powers. You know, if you've got a prophet that can see battle plans, that would be very good if you could get him to do that for you. You know, maybe he'd offer him a deal. Elijah wouldn't do that, but maybe he thought he could offer a deal. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. And when I lived in Alabama, that's in southern Alabama, lower Alabama, L.A. they called it, back where that is. So guess what in 14? The king of Aram sent horses, chariots, and a great army. Now, here we go. Israel and the Syrians are warring. And the king sends tanks, soldiers, artillery, you name it, in our terms, to take Elisha, to stop this. This is very warlike. And they came and surrounded the city by night. Surprise attack. Good battle plan. Sneak up at night. And Elisha's at Dothan. Now when the attendant of the man of God had arisen early, now who do you think the attendant was? Most likely it was Gehazi who had been struck with leprosy. Remember now, why had Gehazi been struck with leprosy? For those of you in Wednesday night Bible study, when we're going through 2 Kings, what?
Money.
He sold God's power for money. That's all I see preachers do today, including Jesse Duplantis. Give me $54 million for a jet. I'll tell you what I'll give you. Remember what we, Jesus, you cannot serve God in money. But Gehazi was given a second chance. And he arises early. So they're at the Holiday Inn in Dothan. And they're down there with their free breakfast. And Elisha's still eating his free at the Holiday Inn Express. That's where intelligent people go, according to the commercial, I guess. And Elisha finishes his breakfast early, walks outside, and lo and behold, Dothan the city. By the way, these cities had walls, but beyond the walls was a huge encampment of Syrian battle array. Chariots would be the equivalent of like our Humvees and M1A1 Abrams tanks, and they were loaded because they were going to kill everybody to get Elisha. And naturally, Gehazi panics. I would. As a matter of fact, I'd say, hey, Elijah, I got to go over to this other city. Out the back door, I would go. Big chicken. Anyway, Master, what shall we do? Verse 15. And Elisha is sitting there as calm as can be, eating sweet tea. That's drinking sweet tea. That's what they do in Dothan. I know that. I went through there. Sweet tea, mint julep, having a nice drink, completely uncaring. What if you would be if we were surrounded in Oxnard by, and we would be scared to death? The question is, why was Elisha not panicked? It's because of something that God gave Elisha that very few are able to do or see. Somehow God gave to Elisha the ability, like BC ultraviolet, like eagles can see down far. He gave Elisha's eyes a change in frequency or additional frequency. And it says this, Elisha answered and said, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I can just see Gehazi looking around going, what is it? What are you? What's in that mint julep? Too much alcohol, not good. What's in that mint julep? There's no one here, Elisha. All I see are Aramean chariots, soldiers, spears, and it's about over. And so look at the prayer. Look at the prayer. Then Elijah prayed and said, O Lord, open his eyes. Now listen to me. If you had this answered for you, this room would look a whole lot different than what you see. This room would reveal to you the forces of God that surround this church and the forces of Satan, the devil, misnomered Lucifer, his battle array against this church, against God's people, against, and you would, if you were at that North Korean summit, and God would allow it, and give you this spiritual vision to let you peel back the thin veil. It's a very thin veil, but you can't see it. You know what happens when you can't see something? Is there anybody sitting on that front row? How do you know? God's angels. Do they need to sit? No, but they could be there. Because we don't have the ability To see something doesn't mean that something is not there. Not talking about ghosts. I'm talking about if we had that supernatural ability and God gave it to you, you'd see a world that would be quite shocking. Because we can't see it, we're not aware of it, and we don't think it exists, but it's real. Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." And the Lord opened his eyes. And he saw what was really there. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, here is what we see. Here is Dothan. Elisha is at Holiday Inn Express, the walls of the city. The Aramean soldiers packed to the rim with weapons, but surrounding in the hills is the only thing that could be described as it looked like horses and chariots of fire from God. Now, does that mean that God uses horses and chariots? No, well, I don't know what to tell you except maybe God represented it to him in what something he could understand. I don't know. But behind the enemies of God's people were the forces of God. And they were fire because that is the glory of God that these angelic forces reflect. Standing there, ready to protect Elisha. And Elisha must have had the ability to know this all along. That would tell me this. Start thinking now, don't think in terms of 1973 Roe v. Wade, 59, 60 million babies have been aborted. Start to think now, that's the human end. Start to think now of what you would see if God could turn back the veil and show you that spiritual battle that is real for the souls of those children. Think of all of the people that have died in war. By the way, I believe there's war because Satan hates humankind, and the way to denigrate humankind is to create war, pestilence, and disease. So behind that, you would see satanic angelic hosts causing these things and men being used to do these things. And that there is a dimension that we are neglecting. When God's people in North Korea are put in camps. And you know the stories I've told you, those precious people. You're a Christian in North Korea, you know how they beat that precious Mormon kid and he came back and he died. You name the name of Jesus up there, you go to a camp right up next to China, and then they bring to the older, that's a very family-oriented Korean culture, you are, the grandparents are brought in. They say, if you don't renounce Jesus, then we'll kill your kids. And the reason why is if the grandparents renounce religion, the kids will follow. Believe it or not, in certain cultures, there is respect for age. I'm the Rodney Dangerfield of preachers. I don't get any respect. Okay, anyway. They'll go, no. Then they will be forced to witness the gassing killing of their children. But there are grandchildren. And they'll say, if you don't renounce Jesus, not only will we kill, we've killed your kids, now your grandchildren, babies. And I have heard from people who have escaped that gulag that they will literally have a soldier put his boot on a little baby head. And they will look at the grandparents and say, renounce Jesus. No. And the soldier will stomp on the head of that child, killing it in front of the grandparents. Now, if you could see reality, it wouldn't be soldiers. You would see angelic fallen angels doing this, encouraging and doing this. This is what's going on today in our country and all over. There is a hidden, unseen realm. We wrestle not. When Paul went to jail and he was beaten at Philippi, yeah, a Roman soldier whipped him, but behind it, as weird as this may sound, was the spiritual forces of darkness trying to stop the spread of the Christian message. This is what this is teaching us. And that we are very narrow in what we can see. Now, you don't want to go chasing it. You want to say this. By the way, I'll get you mad, but anytime people, babies are killed, people are killed, there is suffering. You can bet that these fallen angelic forces are behind it. When there is, the gospel is kept from going somewhere where there's any type of damage to God's people or to humanity, the humiliation, you can bet there are spiritual wicked forces that are behind it. You say, I'd like a pair of those glasses, Pastor Dave. I think it would scare a spitless. The only thing I would hope to see when I put those glasses on was, Lord, are your chariots of fire around us? Because if they're not, no wonder Moses said, Lord, unless you go before me, go first, I'm not going. He knew. He must have been able to see those things. So there he saw these chariots of fire. And then when they came down to attack in verse 18, that wasn't, high, Elijah, you're under arrest. No, they were going to attack. Elijah prayed, strike them with blindness. Isn't that interesting? Blindness, open your eyes, all of those things that are going on here. He struck them with blindness. And then Elijah took the army of the Syrians, completely confused and routed, and led them. And he brought them to Samaria to the king of Israel so they could be taken captive. Not one need to fire an arrow. And it came about when they had come into Samaria that Elijah said, O Lord, open their eyes. And they saw that they were in the middle of enemy territory. So what's this story telling as we move back now? This week, we finished. I could go to other stories, but this is telling you something. You don't see everything. That this is not the only reality. As a matter of fact, my opinion is this is a shadow of what the real reality is in some senses. What can you do about it? Well, next week we'll get into the last. You need to put on the full armor of God is what this is going to. If this is true and all of these things exist, you've been brainwashed in high school and college to think this is a materialistic world. It's closed continuum of cause and effect. God doesn't exist. Evolution did all the... You've been lied to, and what the Bible is saying is you have no idea what the real reality is. And therefore, Christian, there is something that God has provided. Because he hasn't given you glasses to see it, but he's given you some equipment so that you can defend against it. To me, when I read this story, I am absolutely, to be honest with you, weirded out. What would we see if God would allow us to see what's going on in this auditorium? What would we see? How shocked would we be if God would allow us to see in Washington the Luciferian forces that are behind the swamp, in the world, in Europe, everywhere? What would we see? Therefore, you better dress right to church. And it has nothing to do with ties and suits. It has everything to do with the full... You know, that's how the devil plays a trick. gets these churches to think you have to have a suit and a tie, and what you really don't, you need spiritual armor that you can't see. No shirt, no shoes, no service. So crazy. You need to dress up, but not with what you think you need to dress up with.